welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have a comedy show with a lot of heart to bring you lots of smiles. You'll recognize Billie Burke as the voice of Glinda the Good Witch in Wizard of Oz. She was a famous stage actress, and she was married to Flo Ziegfeld until he died in 1932, leaving behind a lot of debts. So Billie Burke went to work acting in film, stage, and radio. In this Saturday morning sitcom from the 1940s, Billie Burke plays a woman always willing to go out of her way for someone in need. In this first of 2 half-hour episodes, she tries to help a tramp going door to door looking for something to eat. She thinks he's a traveling salesman. The Billie Burke Show, The Tramp, first broadcast April 27th, 1946 on CBS.
Listerine toothpaste, that quick-acting, grand-tasting dentifrice with the fresh minty tang, presents The Billie Burke Show. If anyone told you a delightful way to help make yourself more attractive and more charming, you'd be interested, wouldn't you? Well, try this 5-day test and see for yourself what Listerine toothpaste can do to help make the most of your smile. Just brush your teeth with Listerine toothpaste twice a day for 5 days, and then look in the mirror. See for yourself what Listerine toothpaste has done even in that short time to help bring out the natural sparkle and brilliance of the enamel. That's because Listerine toothpaste contains a special ingredient that helps clean many of those hard-to-get-at spots, which a less efficient toothpaste may miss. Yes, Listerine toothpaste is specially created for getting after many of those tiny flaws and cracks in the enamel. Little pinpoints, so tiny you can hardly see them. And it's in these danger zones that decay often may start. More than 3 out of 4 cases start there, some authorities say. Of course, no one wants ugly decay. Everyone loves naturally bright, shining teeth. So as a sensible precaution and as a delightful beauty aid, use a dentifrice that is specially created for pinpoint cleansing. Get Listerine toothpaste today. And here she is, that bright morning star, our lovely misleading lady, Miss Billie Burke.
Good morning.
This morning, Miss Burke, Brother Julius, and Daisy have returned from Grandpa's ranch in Texas, and life in the little white house on Sunnyview Drive resumes again its slightly irregular course. Right now, Brother Julius is next door with Mr. Tinker. Miss Burke is in the front room writing some letters, and Daisy is in the kitchen. There's a knock at the back door.
Good morning.
Good morning. Could you spare a piece of bread and butter for a hungry man?
Well, I suppose so. Wait a minute.
Miss Billie! What is it, Daisy?
Miss Billie, there's a transom at the back door.
Transom? Goodness, chase it away. Those big spiders are poisonous.
Well, this is a man, a tramp. He says he's hungry and could he have a piece of bread and butter?
Why, yes, of course. Where is he?
At the back door.
Oh. Oh, good morning, Mr. Transit.
Morning, ma'am. Excuse me for troubling you folks. Thought maybe you could spare me a little something to eat. I'm so hungry, I'll eat anything.
Oh, gracious, you poor man. It's long past breakfast time. Couldn't you find a restaurant open?
Well, people like me don't eat in restaurants, ma'am.
Oh?
I guess I'm what you might call a knight of the road.
Oh, English nobility.
No, ma'am. I'm just a wanderer. I have no home, no family, no money.
Oh, how dreadful.
I just drift with the stream. I'm a part of life's flotsam and jetsam.
Oh, I see. You're a traveling salesman. Is that a nice company to work for?
What company, ma'am?
Flotsam and Jetsam.
I guess I'll be going. I'm sorry I troubled.
Oh, no, wait. I don't understand.
I'm hungry, ma'am, that's all.
Oh,
I'm a tramp, a beggar. You can order me off the place if you want to. Sick the dogs on me. Lots of people do.
Oh, how could they do such a thing? Oh, what was your name again, Mr.?
Willie,
well, that's a nice name. Won't you come in and sit down, Mr. Willie?
In your house?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, ma'am. I'll just wait out here.
Well, you go in and sit under the tree there in the backyard, and I'll bring you some breakfast.
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
Miss Billy, you want to fix a whole breakfast for that bum?
He's not a bum, Daisy. He's a respectable tramp. He used to work for Flop Sam and Jet Sam. That's a company. Well, certainly just like Montgomery Ward or Sears and Rowboat. You get some coffee going, Daisy, and I'll get the things out of the refrigerator.
Well, Mr. Judith is going to be mad, and he's in a bad mood this morning.
Oh, don't worry about Brother Judith. He's over visiting with Mr. Tinker, and he won't even know about it. I always say, let sleeping dogs gather no more.
I tell you, Tinker, the whole world's gone to pot. Why, the human race isn't worth saving. Nothing but a bunch of thieves and murderers.
Present company accepted, of course.
Naturally.
I think you're being overly pessimistic, Julius. People as a general run are as good as they ever were.
Don't be an idiot, Tinker. What's on everybody's mind today? Grab, grab, grab. I tell you, there isn't an ounce of Christian honesty left in the world.
Present company accepted, of course.
Naturally.
Well, you might do better to look around. You might find people are not so bad. I know of one fellow who did that.
Who?
Old man about middle age here in town with several millions of dollars. He decided he was going to find out if there was such a thing as a truly unselfish person. He disguised himself as a tramp and started out.
Tramp.
Made up his mind if he found someone who really practiced the golden rule, who was willing to give and ask nothing in return, he would give him half his fortune.
Must be a crackpot. Where'd you hear that?
Read it in the paper.
Well, his money's safe. He'll find out it's just as I've said. People nowadays are just no good.
Present company accepted, of course.
Naturally. Billy!
Gone. Probably down standing in line for nylons. I wonder if there's anything in the icebox. Empty. Couple of dried up carrots.
A lot of good it does to bring money into this house. A man can't even find anything to eat.
Wonder if those stale fig Newtons are still in the cupboard.
Hello, Julius. What are you looking for?
What does a person usually look for in the icebox? Where's all the food?
I gave it to Willie.
Did you do?
Willie, out in the backyard. Gracious, he's starving with hunger. He's nothing but flesh and bones.
Who's Willie?
A very nice tramp.
Tramp!
He's had education. He's cultured and very illiterate.
Billy Burke, do you mean you're giving our food away to some worthless panhandler?
He isn't selling panhandles. He was hungry and he hadn't any breakfast.
Where is this tramp? Where is he?
In the backyard. Julius, what are you going to do?
I'm going to run him out of here. This is our home, and I'm not going to have a lot of bums hanging around.
Julius.
What does he think we're running here? Free lunch?
Julius, wait. We can spare food for someone who's hungry. Don't chase him away.
Listen, when you feed one, then you feed...
A man about middle age, several million dollars, disguised himself as a tramp. If he found someone who practiced the golden rule, willing to give and ask nothing in return, he would give him half his fortune.
Gosh, this might be the guy. Just might be.
You talking with yourself, Julius?
I've changed my mind. Hey, Willie.
Oh, yes, sir.
Come here. Come on in.
You want me to come in the house?
Why, sure. Come on in, old man. We haven't much, but what we have, we're happy to share with our fellow man.
Well, thank you. I feel as if I shouldn't.
About middle age. This is the guy, all right. Tell the way he wears his clothes. He's no more a tramp than I am.
Mr. Willie, this is my brother, Julius.
It's a pleasure. Welcome to our humble home.
Oh, how do you do? Thank you very much. I better be on my way now.
Why, we wouldn't think of letting you just eat and run, old man. Accept our humble hospitality. Rest and refresh yourself.
Oh, please do, Mr. Willie. You're tired. It shows in your face. You have deep lines of Fatima.
Well, I didn't sleep last night, nor the night before.
Why, you poor fellow. Now, you go right into my room, right in there, and make yourself comfortable. What? Lie down, sleep, rest. What's ours is yours.
You sure I won't?
Not at all, not at all. We haven't much, but what we have, we share. Now, go on in, make yourself at home.
Rest.
That's it. That's it. We'll call you when lunch is ready.
Oh, thank you.
That was kind of you, Judith. I knew you couldn't chase poor Mr. Willie away.
Poor Mr. Willie? Don't you know who that is, Billy? He's a millionaire.
Oh, really? He doesn't spend much on clothes, does he?
Billy, this is our lucky day. This guy, I don't know what his real name is, he's out looking for someone who practices the golden rule, someone who is unselfish, gives away everything, and when he finds that person, he's going to give him half of his fortune.
Why?
Because he wants to! After all, let's not look a gift horse in the mouth.
Is he giving away a horse, too?
No! Don't you see, Billy, we practically have that money right in our hands. We're going to give him anything that he wants. We're in.
Is that honest?
Honest? Why, of course it's honest. Besides, business is business. You don't think that we're going to let $1 million slip through our fingers, do you? Gosh, what a lucky break. You can see he isn't a tramp.
No, I think he would be quite good looking without those beard whiskers.
Oh, boy, $1 million smackers.
Judith, you have an evil flint in your eye. You're not being honest. You're making Mr. Willie believe you're something that you're not. You're trying to hoodwink him.
Shh, that's not true. I would have taken him in anyway. It just happens that he has the money. It's a coincidence.
Judith, you were going to chase him away. You know you were.
Oh, I was only kidding. Billy, do you think that I'd have turned away a hungry man? No, no. Do you think that I have no heart, no soul? Why, I love to help people. Well, I'm going in and see how Willie's getting along. Good old Willie.
Julius, I still think you have an interior motive.
Well, how is everything, Willie, old man? Comfortable? Happy?
Oh, this is great. But I don't understand why you're doing all this for me. You folks are the first ones who so much as asked me into the house.
Aren't people terrible? Well, that's not the way we operate, Willie. Our motto is kindness and generosity to all. We live by the golden rule.
You know, it's funny. I didn't think anyone believed in those things anymore.
Well, we do. The golden rule, live and let live, is what we believe. Now, Willie, we want you to consider this your home for as long as you wish to stay. Everything we have is yours.
You mean that? Really?
I mean it.
Oh, thanks. I promise you won't be sorry.
I'm sure we won't. No, I mean, well, how could we be?
You know, I wasn't always a bum.
Yeah, so I've heard. That is, naturally, you've seen better days.
Now, I have some plans.
Yes?
Now that you've offered to help me, I think I can carry him through.
Yes, good, good. Anything you want, anything at all. See the suits in this closet? Just about your size, I believe. They're all yours.
Oh,
now, don't thank me. You do the same for me. The golden rule. All those shirts. Take everything, Willie. It's all yours.
Don't refuse.
I want to do it. I want you to have everything you need.
Yeah, but what about you? That leaves you nothing.
Oh, material things mean little to me. Clothes, money, all unimportant. To help, to be of service to my fellow man, that is all I want, all I need. I am a happy man.
Hello, Mr. Tinker.
Oh, come in, Miss Burke. Myrtle's upstairs.
Oh, don't trouble her, Tinky. I only want 3 tablespoons of flour.
Gladly, Miss Burke. Do you have something to carry it in?
Mm-hmm. I brought 3 tablespoons with me.
Oh. Yes, well, perhaps we'd better use a cup.
Have you heard? We have a guest.
Really? Visiting relative?
No, no. He's just a wealthy tramp. Julius expects to get $1 million. Can you imagine?
$1 million?
Yes, because Mr. Willie, he says, is looking for someone who practices the golden rule so he can give them half his money.
Oh.
Well, Julius is practicing. So I'm afraid he doesn't mean it. I think it's just hocus pocus.
Miss Burke, I'm alarmed.
You are?
I was the one who told Julius about the wealthy man disguising himself as a tramp, intending to give half his wealth to a good Samaritan. I read it in the paper.
Oh, so you know it's true.
Yes, but it was 12 years ago.
12 years? Then Mr. Willie can't be.
No.
Oh, I'm glad.
Glad?
Yes, because I think it serves Julius right. It'll be interesting to see what he does when he finds out his golden goose is just a plain duck.
Folks, perhaps you've tried many dentifrices, or maybe you've used only one. Whatever the case, you may never have tried the efficient tooth cleansing you can get with Listerine toothpaste. You see, Listerine toothpaste is created by experts to do a specially efficient job, to give you pinpoint cleansing. Yes, Listerine toothpaste actually gets after and helps clean even many of those tiny pinpoint cracks in enamel, on the biting surface and between the teeth. You realize how very important pinpoint cleansing is when you know that some authorities say more than 75% of all ugly decay begins in those little pinpoint cracks. So forget any other toothpaste you've tried and change now to Listerine toothpaste. Try it for just 5 days. See how wonderfully it cleans and polishes. See why we call it a real cleansing prescription for your teeth. Remember the name, Listerine toothpaste. You'll enjoy its tangy mint flavor. Now, back at Miss Burke's house, Daisy is hearing the inside story about the millionaire tramp.
And it was Mr. Tinker who told Julius about it in the first place. Only it seems Mr. Tinker forgot to mention that he read the story in a paper 12 years ago.
Mr. Julius is going to be surprised. I have a feeling.
He's going to be in a fine predicament. All his high-flying phrases about generosity, that it didn't make any difference if Willie was wealthy. Oh, he'll have to prove it if he's sincere. Person, if he is sincere, or a hypothesis.
Miss Zilly, I heard him in that talk to Mr. Will. Yes, ma'am, I know what you mean. Mr. Julius just gave him everything. Nothing small about Mr. Julius. I expected the house and lot to go any minute.
Julius, is that you?
Just call me Rockefeller, that's all. Just call me Rockefeller.
I see.
We're practically in the chips, Willie.
Uh-huh. Is that a good place to be, in the chips?
No better place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Willie is sold.
Who are you selling to?
I mean he sold on me. In case you don't know it, you're looking at a man who has found that it pays to be generous. I've given Willie everything, everything but the clothes off my back.
Well,
can he find a more unselfish man? I ask you, can he?
I'm heading for the last roundup.
Daisy has a lovely voice. Reminds me, I want to remember to buy a cattle ranch. 10 or 20,000 acres.
Julius, are you sure Mr. Willie is the right one? I mean that he is the millionaire?
Why, not a doubt in the world. Fits Tinker's description to a T.
Mm.
And what's more, Willie as much as said that I was going to get the money.
You mean he commuted himself?
Yeah, practically. He said that he has some plans that he was going to carry through.
What?
That I would never be sorry for taking him in. Doesn't take much imagination to see what he's talking about. You see, he doesn't know that I know he's a millionaire.
Oh, no, naturally he wouldn't know.
Sweet guy, that Willie. Anyone with half an eye could see that behind that beard and those ragged clothes was a fine man, a big man, an executive. I've come to think an awful lot of Willie. He's the sort of person who grows on you.
Julius, do you think you'd feel the same toward Willie if he were not rich?
Would I? What a silly question.
Well, you have to know sometime, Julius. There's no time like the present.
What?
Know what?
Willie is not a millionaire.
He's not?
No.
How do you know? Tinker read it in the paper.
Yes, that's true, Julius. He did read it in the paper 12 years ago.
12 years? Oh! Why didn't he tell me?
Well, you didn't ask him.
I've been swindled. I have been cheated.
Why, Julius, you said it didn't really make any difference. You helped Willie out of the goodness of your heart.
But I've given him everything I own. I don't even have another pair of pants.
But doesn't Willie need them more than you do?
No, he has 5 pairs.
Oh.
All mine.
Oh, I see.
That fraud, that bum. Coming into my house impersonating a millionaire.
Julius, remember the golden rule.
Don't you talk to me about the golden rule. You think that I'm going to give that tramp all my clothes? Give him my room? Feed him? What is this? A hotel? Free meals? Free everything?
You promised him, Julius.
No, I... Well, I thought... No, I'm not going to do it.
I'm disappointed in you, Julius.
I don't care. No tramp is going to make a sucker out of me.
But he didn't. You did all the talking, Julius. He didn't want to come in, remember?
I know. He kept quiet on purpose. Somebody had to say something. He made me talk. I'm going in there.
You won't have to.
What?
Look, walking down the driveway to Willie.
Sneaked out the side door. Well, good riddance.
He heard everything we said. He must have.
I don't care if he did.
He believed in you, Julius. You were the first person who had ever been kind to him.
He'll get over it.
Probably. But will you?
Me? He means nothing to me.
I won't say any more. You know the difference between right and wrong as well as I do.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Whatever you want to do.
If you think that I'm going to run after him, you're crazy.
Julius?
Hello?
I couldn't find you. Why are you sitting here in the garage alone?
Do I have to have a reason for sitting in my own garage?
Is something troubling you?
No!
You don't have to snap at me like a bullhead.
I'm sorry.
Tell me, what happened?
I talked Willie into coming back. I gave him the upstairs room.
I'm glad.
He gave back everything I'd given to him. I gave it all back to him again. He gave it back to me.
Oh, gracious, who has it now?
We divided it.
Oh.
His name is Willie Andrews. He's a wonderful guy. I must have gone haywire. You know, Billy, there's something strange about this business of giving. I mean, giving help to someone without thinking of getting something in return. Gives a person a peculiar feeling. I've been thinking about it.
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is. Something new to me. I'm not used to it. You see, it doesn't make sense, Billy. Since we were kids, we were taught to get ahead. Let the other fellow look out for himself. Why should I feel good about giving Willie Andrews a flock of clothes when I know I can't go out tomorrow and even buy a shirt? But I do. It's crazy.
I don't think it is, Julius. The spirit of unselfish giving is a rare thing, but it isn't crazy. It's the only sanity in the world. It's humanity's only hope for survival.
Well, let's go on in and see how Willie's getting along, huh? He was going to change his clothes, get cleaned up.
I wonder what he looked like.
There was sure plenty of room for improvement.
Gracious, yes. He was an odd mixture, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He looked like a combination of Flash Gordon and B.O. Plenty.
Here's his door, Billy.
Are you sure he's had time to dress?
Sure.
You know, it takes you an hour just to tie your tie. Then I have to come in and do it for you.
Yeah, I know. He should be dressed by now.
I'm a little excited, aren't you?
Yeah. No. What do I care what he looks like?
I'll knock.
No answer.
That's funny.
Maybe he's napping.
No. Willie! I'm going in. Willie?
He isn't here, Julius.
Here are his old clothes, his old shoes. He's gone, Billy.
You don't suppose he fell out the window? Oh, no, he couldn't have done that.
I can't believe that he just didn't seem that kind of a guy.
He didn't leave a note anywhere, did he?
Nothing. I guess I wasn't so smart after all. What does it say in the book to do now, when the unselfish giver gets kicked in the teeth?
What did you expect him to do, Julius?
I expected him to show a little appreciation.
Ah, maybe that's where you made a mistake, maybe.
Is it a mistake to expect a man to at least say thank you? I gave him my clothes, I gave him a home, I even gave him a job as a salesman at the department store. So he walks out, probably sitting in some restaurant right now, eating on the $5 that I loaned him, thinking what a fine pair of chumps we are.
You mustn't think that, Julius. You're making the same mistake all over again. You're expecting something in return. That's where you're wrong. Don't you see?
No, I don't see. To tell you the truth, Billy, I've decided this whole beautiful idea of unselfish giving is a myth.
It isn't a myth.
It's hogwash.
Julius, how can you compare it to a piggy bar? It's true. It's real. Oh, you simply don't understand it all.
I understand this much. I gave my...
Hello, Miss Bird. Hello, Julius.
Who are you?
Julius, it's Willie.
Willie?
What?
Man, I didn't know you. Where have you been?
Oh, I went down to the barber shop, got a shave and a haircut. I feel like a new man.
Well, you look like a new man. Why, Julius, he's handsome. He looks like Ronald Coleman. Oh, and he has more power than Tyrone.
I thought you had...
You thought I had what, Julius?
I thought you'd taken a walk around the block.
Oh, I did. Trying to get used to being a human being again. When do I start on the job, Julius?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, thanks, Julius. Those are small words for all you're doing for me. I have a better way of saying thanks, but it takes a little more time.
Forget it, Willie.
Julius, we're not going to call him Willie. From now on, it's Bill Andrews.
I do like that a little better, Miss Burke.
Well, naturally. Of course, that's just between us Bills.
I'm going downstairs. I seem to have a little headache. See you at dinner, Bill.
Oh, right. Too bad Julius has a headache. Maybe we ought to get something for him.
He'll be all right. You see, he has a brand new halo around his head, and it doesn't quite fit.
Listerine toothpaste, Listerine tooth powder, they're both fine dentifrices. We've been telling you what the paste can do for a bright smile. Now, for those who prefer powder, here's something of interest and importance. There's no finer powder made than Listerine tooth powder. It's gentle, it's effective. Won't you please try Listerine tooth powder for just 5 days and see for yourself how it actually helps bring out the natural flash, the sparkle of the enamel. Delicious mint flavor, too. And your mouth feels so refreshed, so clean after using it. Remember to get Listerine tooth powder today.
Goodbye, Mr. Miller. Goodbye, everybody, till next Saturday. And remember, to always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny side of life.
The Billy Gruenberg Show is produced by Axel Gruenberg. Today's story was written by Paul West. The part of Daisy is played by Lillian Randolph, and Earl Ross is our Julius. Music is under the direction of Carl Bonowitz. Tune in again next Saturday when the makers of Listerine Toothpaste again present the Billy Burke Show. For the best in Saturday listening, don't miss Let's Pretend, The Billy Burke Show, and Armstrong's Theater of Today, the latter following over most of these stations immediately. Next week, part of the country goes on daylight saving time. If your area remains on standard time, tune in The Billy Burke Show 1 hour earlier. Your announcer is Marvin Miller. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. In 1946, nylon stockings were still in short supply, and Billy Burke's sponsor, Listerine Toothpaste, ran a sweepstakes to give away 6 pairs of stockings to several lucky winners. In this episode, Billy is trying to manipulate 2 of the town's misers to contribute to the welfare of the children of their town. She is full of hilarious malaprops, but somehow Billy always thinks her way out of a problem. The Billy Burke Show, Playground, first broadcast August 3rd, 1946, on CBS.
Listerine Toothpaste, that quick-acting, grand-tasting dentifrice with the fresh minty tang, presents The Billy Burke Show. Friends, why don't you enter the Listerine Toothpaste Contest and win gorgeous nylons of note by Holeproof? Listerine Toothpaste is giving away 12 pairs of nylons of note by Holeproof as first prize, 4 more prizes of 6 pairs each, and 10 extra prizes of 2 pairs each. There's a different contest every week, but there are only 3 more contest weeks to go, so send in your entry today. A little later, I'll give you the simple rules for the contest. Right now, here are the 5 top winners of the 6th week's contest. First prize, 12 pairs of nylons of note by Holeproof went to Mrs. C.A. Grosskopf of Pflugerville, Texas. 6 pairs went to Mrs. Charles Alpaw of Princeton, Illinois. Another 6 pairs to Frederica Gillis of Garner, Iowa. Still another 6 pairs were won by Mrs. Helen Rudolph of Otisco, Minnesota. And 6 more pairs went to Mrs. Roland Barilow of Marrero, Louisiana. Listerine Toothpaste extends sincere congratulations. And here she is, that smiling, bright morning star, our misleading lady, Miss Billy Burke.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Now let's look in at the little white house on Sunnyview Drive. Brother Julius is working in his shop behind the garage when Miss Burke appears in the doorway.
Hello, Julius.
Huh? Oh, hello, Billy.
Julius.
What do you want?
It's a lovely day.
Yes, I know that.
Julius.
What?
You know, you seem to get younger every day.
Thank you. Now, please go.
And you're so intelligent, you're almost human.
That's fine. Now, will you...
Wait, Julius.
Billy Burke, what's going on? What do you want?
Well, I want to talk to you. Don't be so impatient. After all, I'm your own flesh and bones.
All right. What is it? What do you want to talk about?
It's something important. I'm crooking up an idea.
You're crooking up an idea?
Yes.
It's a great start.
Julius, I need $500.
Five? What for?
Well, the children in the neighborhood need a playground so they won't be out in the street. You know, a place with swings and shoot the shooties and merry-go-rounds and a nice big place to play.
Well, you can't build one of those things for $500.
Oh, yes, I can. Mr. Judson, he will let us use his vacant lot, and for $500 I can get all the things for it. Everything is all arranged and ready. I've taken care of all the details, and all I need is just that little teeny
teeny-weeny $500.
There's nothing teeny-weeny about $500. That's a lot of money.
Oh, but think what it will mean to the children. They'll be safe and they'll have so much fun.
I know, Billy, and it's a good idea. But I don't have the $500 to spare. Why don't you go and talk to Colonel Fitz across the street? He's in the dough.
In the dough, all over, with his feet?
In the money. Go on over, put the bite on him.
I don't understand. Put the bite on him. Heavens, he'd never give it to me if I bit him.
No, no, no. Talk to him. Ask him.
Oh, all right. Well, why didn't you say that in the first place? Sometimes your grammar is Confucius. My goodness. For $500, Colonel Fitz, we can build a lovely playground with swings and slides and just everything. Don't you think it's a good idea?
Well, I'm afraid I'm too old for that sort of thing, Miss Burns.
I don't expect you to go down the slides, Colonel Fitz. This is for the children of the neighborhood.
Oh, for the little tots.
Yes.
A fine idea, Miss Burke, except I don't have any children.
Oh, well, let's not split hairpins. Your children, somebody else's children. What's the difference? The little darlings need a place to play, to ventilate their energy.
Well, $500 is a lot of money.
Well,
I tell you what I'll do. You go talk to that old skinflint Guthrie. If he'll put up half, I'll put up the other half.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Colonel Fitz. Well, let's see. Half of $500 is, $250. I figured that out in my head.
I'll get my check.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know things are coming back to normal. The factories are making everything, it seems.
Really?
Yes, Julia says you can even get rubber checks. Of course, it's probably anesthetic rubber, you know.
Undoubtedly. You know, come to think of it, Miss Burke, I'll just keep this check until Guthrie puts up his half.
But Colonel Fitz...
When Guthrie puts up his 250, I'll put up mine.
Oh.
I couldn't trust that tight wad as far as I could throw a Greyhound bus.
You wouldn't? Oh, I would.
I'll still keep my check right here until I see Guthrie's money.
All right, Colonel Fitz, but I thought you trusted everybody.
Whatever made you think that?
Because Julius always says you're a regular confidence man.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Guthrie.
Well, how do you do, Miss Burke? To what happy whim of fate do I owe the incomparable pleasure of this unexpected visit?
Oh, my, Mr. Guthrie. Such a gallant welcome. You sound like that poet, Oscar the Wilde.
Well, I do have an eye for a lovely lady.
Well,
what can I do for you, Miss Burke?
You see, I'm raising some money for a children's playground, and...
Excuse me.
Oh, certainly.
Hello? Oh, hello, sweetie lamb. What? Well, I don't know. Billy Burke's in the office. I'll ask her. Miss Burke, is toothpaste a hyphenated word?
Hyphenated?
Yes, is there a hyphen in toothpaste?
Oh, well, I don't know. I never found one in mine.
Hello, sugar doll. No, dear, no hyphen. Goodbye, love. Poor Alice. She... can't spell.
Oh, well, isn't it a shame? Alice had to leave college in her last year.
Now, about this money...
Yes, you see, I want to build a playground for...
Excuse me.
Goodness.
Hello? Yes, Petty Pie.
Heaven.
How do you spell nylon? Well, just a moment, darling. Poor Alice, she simply can't spell. How do you spell nylon, Miss Burke? Is it N-I-E or N-E-I?
Nylon, let me see. Why?
Oh, naturally. It's Y, dear. N-Y-L-O-N. Goodbye, sweet. I suppose you know what Alice is doing, Miss Burke.
Oh, yes. Well, think of it, Mr. Guthrie. 12 pairs of nylons. That's almost a dozen.
Yes. Now... what were we talking about?
The playground. All I need is $250. But...
excuse me, Miss Burke.
Oh, yes.
Hello? Yes, Diddy Doll. Is there a Y in Listerine, too? Honey Bunch, look on the box. The box. B-O-C-K-S. Goodbye, dear.
Gracious. Alice seems to be having trouble.
Well, she doesn't have trouble saying why she likes Listerine toothpaste in 25 words, if she could only spell them. Now, what do you want the money for, Miss Burke?
A playground. P-L-A-Y-G-O. Well, good heavens, now I'm doing it.
Well, $250 is quite a lot of money.
Oh, but it's for a good cause, Mr. Guthrie. Think of it, a whole playground with slides and Peter Totterers for all the children in the neighborhood.
Not a bad idea. We could charge admission.
Admission?
Why not? 10 cents a head.
Oh, well, that wouldn't work. The children would want to get more than their heads in. You mean charge them to use the slides and things?
It might be quite a paying proposition.
Oh, no, no, Mr. Guthrie. The playground is to be free. In fact, I'm going to call it the Free for All.
Who's putting up the other 250?
Your old friend, Colonel Fitz. You know Fitzy?
That old windbag? Mm-hmm. All right, if Fitz will put up 250, I'll put up 250.
But he says he'll put his 250 up if you put up yours.
Aha. He's trying to pull a fast one, huh? Not 1 cent do I put in until I see his money.
Oh, but who's going to put up the money first so that the other one can see it?
Not me. You show me his check and you can have mine.
Well, I'll ask him, but I know what he's going to say.
No, no.
But somebody has to put up the money. First, oh, Colonel Finn.
It won't be me. I know that, Guthrie. Probably trying to pull one of his slick deals. Well, he won't catch me.
He's not trying to catch anybody. He just wants to see your check.
All right, I want to see his. Guthrie is a crook. As far as I'm concerned, we can simply forget about the whole thing.
But we must have the playground. We can't forget about
it. Then show me Guthrie's money.
Oh, why do you men have to be so bully-headed?
Well, now, what are you going to do?
I'm going home and think. And when I start thinking, something's going to happen.
You home, Miss Billings?
Yes, I'm home, Daisy.
You don't sound too bright. Something wrong?
Oh, I'm mad at men.
At men? That takes in a lot of people.
Well, I'm mad at two men in particular, that Mr. Guthrie and that Colonel Fitz. I'll show them. I'll think of something.
While you was gone, a couple of little boys came to the door and they wanted to know how the playground was going.
Oh, poor darlings. Well, I'm going to build that playground, Daisy, if I have to resort to despicable measures. If Mr. Guthrie and Colonel Fitz are going to be stubborn, they'll wish they hadn't. I'll show them two can play as cheaply as one.
Well, Billy, how'd you come out?
Oh, not so good. As sailors say, I ran into a snood.
It's a snood? You mean a snag.
Oh, snag, snood, oh, it's all the same. Mr. Guthrie won't put up his money until the colonel puts up his, and Colonel Fitz won't give me his check until he sees Mr. Guthrie's money. It's so ridiculous, just a tempest in a tea room.
You shouldn't have told Guthrie that Fitz was in on it. Well, they're having one of their annual feuds.
Oh, fiddlesticks on their old feud. I'll get them together somehow.
You want to be careful, Billy. You get those two in the same room and there'll be a fight.
Fight?
Billy Burke, what are you thinking about?
I have an inspiration.
Now look, none of your willy-nilly ideas.
Oh, you wait, Julius. This is a willy-nilly dilly.
Friends, there are only 3 weeks left in the Listerine Toothpaste Contest, the easy contest in which the prizes are beautiful nylons of note by Holdproof. So send in your entry today. Here are the rules. One, complete the following sentence in 25 words or less. I like Listerine Toothpaste because... Two, write or print your entry together with your name, address, and stocking size. Be sure to also include your leg length, short, medium, or long. Three, enclose the side or facsimile of the side of a Listerine Toothpaste box. But, and this is important, the side you enclose must be the one that carries the good housekeeping seal. Mail your entry, as many entries as you like, to Listerine Contest, Post Office Box 491, Times Square, New York 18, New York. Remember, first prize is a dozen pairs of nylons of note by Holdproof, four other prizes of six pairs each, and 10 more prizes of two pairs apiece. Miss Burke's plan to build a playground for the neighborhood youngsters has run into financial problems. Mr. Guthrie and Colonel Fitz were going to advance $250 apiece, but each has insisted the other put up his money first. However, Miss Burke seems to think she's found a solution.
Billy Burke, where are you going?
I am off to see the lizard. Two lizards, in fact.
Lizard? Now, wait a minute.
I'm going to see Mr. Guthrie and Colonel Fitz simply because they're having a feud isn't going to keep the children from having a playground. I'm going to outsmart them.
What are you
going to
do?
I'm going to show them that I'm not the babe in the woodpile that they think.
Now, just a minute, Billy. Think. Remember what always happens when you get these wild ideas.
But there's nothing wild about this idea. I'm simply going to fight fire with fire water.
Tell me what you're up to. Come on.
I'm going to get the $500 for that playground.
How?
Well, you just bridle your time. Everything comes to him who's the waiter.
I know Guthrie and Colonel Fitz, and I'll just bet you that you don't get the money.
Oh, well, you wait and see. Remember the old Greek proverb, Julius, my time is your time. Mr. Guthrie, I'm back again.
Well, did that old baboon put up his money?
Baboon? Oh, Colonel Fitz. No, he didn't. You know, Mr. Guthrie, when I told him what you said, he simply flew into a tizzy.
A what?
A tizzy. That's something like a transom.
Oh, he did, huh? The conniving old coot.
I'm surprised at Colonel Fitz, Mr. Guthrie. Goodness, he said some dreadful things about you.
About me? Mm. What did he say?
Oh, I couldn't repeat them. Makes me shudder. To think he'd say such thing behind your face.
Well, what did he say? Tell me.
No, I couldn't.
Well, very well, then. Let it go.
Don't you want to hear it?
Oh, indeed I do.
Well, don't breathe this to a simple soul, but Colonel Fitz said he wouldn't trust you as far as he could throw a bus.
What?
Yes, and furthermore, he thinks you're a skinny flint.
He calls me a skinny flint?
Now, don't do anything rational, Mr. Guthrie. Remember, Colonel Fitz is a great big man.
I'm not afraid of him. Why, I'll mutilate that two-faced old crook.
Oh, you don't mean that really, Mr. Guthrie.
I do mean it. I'll hammer that beanpole down to a fire plug.
No, you're just joking. You'll forget all about it.
Forget about it, huh? Listen, I'll be out at Fitz's house in 15 minutes, and we'll see then who's joking.
Goodness, you frightened me, Mr. Guthrie. Oh, I think I'll run along. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Oh, dear, 15 minutes. Well, I'll have to hustle, bustle, rustle. Goodness.
Well, Miss Burke, what did old Guthrie say?
Oh, Colonel Fitz, I can't tell you. It was too dreadful.
Wouldn't put up his money, eh? I thought as much.
Well, it wasn't that. It was the perfectly awful things he said about you.
About me?
I don't think he's your friend.
What did he say?
He intimated that you were dishonest.
Intimated?
Yes, he said you were a crook with two faces.
Why, that old weasel.
He's coming out here to hammer you into a fire plug.
A fire plug?
I thought you should know.
Well, let him come. I'll show him.
There he is at the door. I'll go out the back way, Colonel Fitz.
No need to fear. I'll handle him in short notice. Well,
don't fight in the house, Colonel.
Hello, Fitz, you scoundrel.
I've been waiting for you, Guthrie. Put up your fists. I'm going to punch you right in the nose.
No, you think so, huh? Come out in the yard, Fitz.
Put up your fists. I'm coming at you, Guthrie.
Boys, stop.
Oh, who's that?
Heavens, Mr. Guthrie, and you, Colonel Fitz, fighting out in the front yard like common raggedy muffins? Oh, shame on you.
Stand aside, Miss Burke.
Don't try to protect him, Miss Burke. I'm going to...
Oh, no, you're not. Now, you both listen to me. If you're going to fight, you must fight like gentlemen and scholars. Haven't you heard of the Marquis and Queensberry?
Just let me at him. Just let me at him.
Now, hush. I know you boys can make a real nice fight and settle your drudge and everything. Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. Daisy? Oh, Daisy?
Coming,
Daisy, I have wonderful news.
What's doing? What happened?
Oh, everything's turned out splendidly, Daisy. We have to hurry and put some mattresses out in the backyard.
Mattresses in the backyard? What for?
For the wrestling match. Groaning Guthrie versus Furious Fitz.
You mean them two men go wrestle against each other in the backyard?
Absolutely. Isn't it wonderful? With the flowers growing all around, it'll be just like Madison Square Garden.
Oh, you kidding, Miss Billy?
Kidding? Heavens no. We're going to have a real middleweight wrestling match. I'm sure that's what it will be. They both have all their weight around the middle.
Well, I'm all out the mattresses, but I still don't get it.
Well, there's nothing to get, Daisy, except the mattresses. Oh, it's simplicity myself. Mr. Guthrie and Colonel Fitz were mad at each other, and one wouldn't put up money for the playground until the other did, so I sort of, brought them together, you know. Now they're going to settle their feud with a wrestling match. The loser puts up the $500 for the playground.
That's what's going to happen? No fooling?
No fooling. I thought it up all by myself.
What's all this about a wrestling match?
Oh, Julius, I have the money for the playground.
Where is it?
Well, I mean, I have it digitally speaking.
Oh.
Mr. Guthrie is going to wrestle Colonel Fitz in the backyard. The one who gets pinned to the mattress pays for the playground.
No!
Yes, it's all arranged. The bout starts at 7 o'clock this evening. Isn't that nice? Let's call it Groaning in the Morning. In the Gloaming. Groaning in the Gloaming. Now, let me get it right.
This beats anything I ever heard of. How did you cook it up?
I didn't cook anything. I simply told Mr. Guthrie what Colonel Fitz said and told Colonel Fitz what Mr. Guthrie said. And first thing you know, they were doing what comes naturally.
Fitz and Guthrie wrestling. You know, Billy, sometimes I think you're a genius.
Really?
Yeah, other times I think other things.
What?
Who's going to referee?
Oh, I am. You're going to be the umpire and clock watcher, and Daisy is going to be the press.
That's
what
I'm
going
to be, Miss Billy?
Mm-hmm, the press. You're going to be the reporter and photographer. I bought some films for the brownie so you can take pictures. This is going to be a big wrestling match. We have to have all the trimmings.
Leaping lizards? We ought to sell tickets. Why, we could get $1,000 gate.
Well, there's no use in paying that much for a gate. No. Besides, it must be absolutely private. No audience participation. Now, you and Daisy get the mattresses down from upstairs. I have to phone the playground equipment company and tell them to deliver our slides and swings and things.
Wait a minute. You better wait until you get the money. What if something goes wrong?
What could go wrong, Julius?
Well, what if they change their minds and don't wrestle?
Oh, they won't. They're mad at each other. Ooh, they're going to fight like two Tommy pussies.
Come on, Billy. Come on. Fitz and Guthrie are ready.
Gracious, I'm all in a fluster. How do you referee a wrestling match, Julian?
Oh, don't ask me. It's your idea. Come on, come on.
All right. Good evening, Colonel Fitz. Mr. Guthrie.
Let's get on with the match. I'm raring to go.
I'm going to take you apart,
Guthrie. Oh, now, boys. Be nice. I'm the referee, and when I say don't do something, you don't do it. Is that clear?
Yes, yes.
Now, no fair biting or scratching, remember that. Just use good, clean strangleholds. And remember, the one who loses has to pay the $500 for the playground. Is that clear?
Yes, we understand.
Let's wrestle. Let's go.
All right. In this corner, in the beige trunks, we have the muscular monster, Emil Guthrie.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you.
And in this corner, in the chartreuse trunks, we have that swordfish fighter, Colonel Fitz.
Yay!
All right, Julius, ring the bell.
Come on. Come on, go after him, Guthrie.
Now I'm going to get you, Fitz. Your goose is cooked.
Just let me get my hands on you,
now,
Guthrie.
Now, be nice, boys. Goodness, don't keep walking around each other. You're making me dizzy. Gracious, somebody wrestle somebody.
Well, I just wait till I get hold of
it. Oh, boy, Fitz. Give him the old half. Ow!
Colonel Fitz, you stop. You're hurting him.
Leave him alone, Billy. Crawl out of it, Guthrie. Come on, give him a toe hold.
Julius, stop telling them those things to do.
Ooh, ooh, ow, ow.
Mr. Guthrie, are you biting
him? Yes, I've got him now.
Oh, no, I haven't. Watch him, Billy. Guthrie's down.
Oh.
Well, it's not me.
My shoulders aren't down.
Well, I can't tell who's who. Is that your foot, Mr. Guthrie?
No, it's not mine.
Well, it's not mine either.
Well, good. Heavens, whose is it?
Come on, wrestle.
I can't move. Let go of me, Fitz.
You let go of me first.
Well, gracious, somebody let go. How did you get so all tangled up?
Oh, what a wrestling match. Come on, fight.
Well, how can they wrestle, Julius? They don't even know which one is which.
Get me out of this, somebody.
This is ridiculous. Where is my other hand?
That's my hand.
Oh, Julius, come and help. We have to sort them out.
Good night.
Oh.
What a mess.
Oh, goodness. But there are too many feet for just two men. Maybe we'd better count them. One.
Whose idea was this, anyway?
Wasn't my idea.
Well, it's a lot of foolishness. Help me out of here.
Well, we're trying. Come on, take a hold of that foot, Billy.
Goodness.
We'll push it under this knee.
Oh. Yeah. Well, what will I do with this arm? There's an elbow here that doesn't belong to anybody.
Well, do something, will you? Pull.
There now. All the parts came out even.
Oh, my back.
And my knee.
Are you all through wrestling?
Yes.
Definitely.
But who won?
Nobody. We'll call it a draw, huh, Guthrie?
A draw?
Oh, you can't do that. Who'll pay the $500 for the playground?
Nobody. Nothing was said about a draw. Nobody wins, nobody pays. Huh, Fitzy?
Exactly right, old man.
Well, Billy. Oh. I told you something had happened. Now, what are you going to do?
Oh, well, we can buy a few things for the playground, I think.
Well, you get the money. Not from us.
No, not from you. From the newspapers. Daisy, did you get the picture?
I took the whole roll. That should be the greatest wrestling match in history.
Oh, splendid. Well, we'll sell them to the newspapers for a few pitiful pennies, I suppose. Goodbye, Mr. Guthrie. Goodbye, Colonel Fitz.
Just a moment. Hold on. I won't have those ridiculous pictures in the paper.
Make us the laughing stock of the town.
Well, the pictures are for sale, gentlemen. Do I hear any offer?
I'll give you $50.
You will not have any pictures of me for $50. I'll give you $100.
Oh, a blackmailer, huh? $500.
$1,000.
You crook, Guthrie!
Now, quiet, both of you. Here's what we'll do. If you'll each contribute $500 to the playground, I'll flash the camera. Now then, nobody will see the pictures. Is it a bargain? I'm putting the camera in for nothing.
Well, it's robbery, but I'll pay.
Me too. Where's that camera?
Here it is. All right, Julius. You can jump on the camera.
A brand new brownie.
Come on, Julius, jump. Jump. There we are.
Now we'll go in the house and write the checks. Come along, chump.
I'm coming.
It serves them right, Billy. If they'd have shelled out their money in the first place, they'd have been all right.
Julius, am I doing a bad thing?
No, indeed. The kids need the playground, and those guys can afford it. Take their money.
But, Julius, I just remembered something.
What?
Please, don't tell a simple soul, will you?
What?
I forgot to put the film in the camera.
Whoa!
Friends, get in the Listerine contest now and win nylons of note by Holproof. There are only 3 more weeks to go. Here are the simple rules again. 1, complete the following sentence in 25 words or less. I like Listerine toothpaste because. 2, write or print your entry together with your name, address, and stocking size. Be sure to also include your leg length, short, medium, or long. 3, enclose the side or facsimile of the side of a Listerine toothpaste box. But, and this is important, the side you enclose must be the one that carries the good housekeeping seal. Mail your entry to Listerine Contest, Post Office Box 491, Times Square, New York 18, New York. Independent judges will award prizes for originality, interest, and sincerity. Duplicate prizes in case of ties. Judge's decision will be final and no entries will be returned. All entries and ideas submitted become the property of Lambert Pharmacal Company. The contest is open to all except employees of Lambert Pharmacal Company and associated companies. Why not get in this easy contest today? mail your entry to Listerine Contest, Post Office Box 491, Times Square, New York 18, New York.
Bye, Mrs. Miller. Goodbye, everybody, till next Saturday. And remember to always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny side of life.
The Show is produced by Axel Gruenberg. Today's story was written by Paul West. The part of Daisy is played by Lillian Randall, and Earl Ross is our Julian. Music is under the direction of Carl Bonowitz. Tune in again next Saturday when the makers of Listerine Toothpaste again present The Billy Burke Show. For the best in Saturday listening, don't forget, Let's Pretend, Billy Burke Show, and Armstrong's Theater of Today.
This is Emil Guthrie speaking.
Or if you prefer, Colonel Fitz.
Both of which are really your announcer, Marvin Miller. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.